Today on Real Radio.
When we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, you can really feel Paul's passion because he begins to lay out before the believer and, of course, Timothy, that his life was going to be offered up really as a sacrifice, poured out, as it were. But he ends that incredible teaching series by saying that he has loved the Lord's appearing. I love that about Paul.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher is pulled into the studio because we're in the middle of a series through 1 and 2 Timothy. And what we want to do is stop down now that we've finished the first book and talk about, well, not just what's coming up in 2 Timothy, but both of them. Pastor Jack, when we hear you preach and teach out of these two books, I have to say that I personally really hear the passion in your voice. Why is that?
Well, Mike, first of all, these two books regarding my own life and being called into the ministry had a great effect for me. And as I personally look around, I see so many churches across America that are almost avoiding the Word of God, almost avoiding the very thing that our churches need to be hearing.
You've mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, and so the passion for me is giving the flock of God the Word of God. That's the connection. Jesus said that my sheep will hear my voice and follow me, and there's no greater thing that a pastor or a Christian worker can do than to give the flock the Word of God. And so this book is our marching orders in these last days on how church ought to be.
Well, and Paul brings up a lot of these issues. It seems like he was trying to encourage Timothy because maybe he was, discouraged.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And you can get that through both of the epistles that Paul wrote to him. But what's interesting also is if Timothy was dealing with the issues of his day that was so threatening to the body of Christ, my goodness, now I open Timothy and I see things that apply to my day more vivid, perhaps, than ever before.
Can you give us an example?
Well, you know what? I have my Bible open right now, right here to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And there it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times or the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." And Mike, we're looking at a time now where there are more cults and there are more aberrant teachings out there than ever before.
In the so-called church, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. In the quote church.
Yeah, quote, exactly. And what about 2 Timothy? Does he deal with some of the same things there?
Well, he does. And one of the things that really hits me hard, and as we get through on our teachings here on Real Radio, when we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, you can really feel Paul's passion because he begins to lay out before the believer, and of course Timothy, that his life was going to be offered up really as a sacrifice, poured out, as it were. But he ends that incredible teaching series by saying that he has loved the Lord's appearing. I love that about Paul. And it's not until that moment when he says that the Lord will give him a crown of righteousness, but not only him only, but to all those who have loved his appearing.
That's right.
And the church needs to be absolutely in love with the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. Why? For a lot of reasons. But one of them is for us to be busy about our Father's business. We need to be out there serving, preaching the Word of God without apology, and making sure that the Word of God, by whatever means, Mike, are possible today, to get the Word of God to the ends of the earth. Why? Because the Lord could come back at any time, so we need to be busy.
Okay, I'm going to have to fire a question at you that's might seem a little out of order, but it's really not, because it's very foundational. Maybe you've been confronted with this. I know I have. Some have argued that what we are told in Timothy are for, and I put this in quotes because this is the way it was put, for pastors only.
Mm.
Is that a myth?
Oh, listen, not only is that a myth, But if you, as a believer, would pick up the Bible, were to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and how is it, perhaps, that there's listeners right now to this program that the Lord could be calling you into the ministry? And you may be thinking, well, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, that's for the pastor types. Well, listen, you out there, you may be the pastor type that God's going to be calling. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I was not pursuing the ministry. The Lord had the ministry pursue me.
That's right. Yeah,
and he convinced me. I didn't go looking for it.
Kind of like John Knox. You mentioned.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And so I want to encourage anyone who's in Christian service and ministry to take this book very seriously. I also want to add, for all of us who attend church, how do we know if our pastors are teaching us the Word of God as they ought? Are they qualified?
Yeah.
It's all laid out in these epistles. And so the entire full counsel of God is what we are to know as believers and certainly proclaim as God's pastors, teachers. So, no, Mike, it's a myth. We all need to be in the Word of God. And I tell you, in these last days, when I read, as I did a moment ago, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, what a great warning. Mm-hmm. I need to be on my toes. That's for everybody.
What about this argument? Can it not rightly be said that we're all in the ministry, small m, if you want to put it that way?
Oh, absolutely.
Every believer, right?
No, absolutely. And let me say this. I would put a capital M on that.
Okay.
For this one reason. Every one of us as believers will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Based upon Corinthians, right? First Corinthians tells us that we are going to be judged there at the Bema Seat of Christ regarding our faithfulness of ministry unto the Lord. And that goes for every believer.
So that's what that means in 1 Corinthians.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Every believer will be held accountable for the opportunities that Christ has given them to serve the Lord in the calling that God has placed upon them. Every believer, Mike, as you well know, has at least one gift given to them by the Holy Spirit. For what reason? For ministry, to edify the body of Christ. The list of gifts, of course, that we're talking about now in 1 Corinthians, but it comes back to Timothy, and the exercising of the gifts is to strengthen and to build up the body of Christ, which all of us as believers are to be in that,
to do.
Exactly. Ministry active today.
And besides, 1 Corinthians was of the same author. Tell us about Timothy himself. Isn't he considered a Messianic Jew? His mother was Jewish, correct?
His mother was Jewish. And you know, you consider the early church was of course was Jewish.
That's
a lot of people don't realize
that. That's right.
Timothy, when you read and study his life, Paul encourages him. For example, he tells Timothy, "I want you to remember to recount." The word is rehearse in your mind about the fact that men laid hands on you, Timothy. Stir up the gift that is within you. And so some, you know, and maybe you've heard this, for those of you who've been through some Bible training or schooling on this, Timothy was no doubt timid regarding his involvement in ministry. And it seems as though that it took the strength of a Paul to get him going. And boy, is that not like all of us?
Yeah. Okay, you said that Paul reminded him of the men who laid hands on him. Did he also not remind him of his childhood and the scriptures that he was taught in that childhood?
From the earliest days of his life, he was taught in the Word of God.
Okay.
And what I want to say about that, just to anyone who's hearing this right now, you might want to stop and ask, what Word of God was that? You know, Mike, a lot of Christians today, for some reason, think that they don't need to read the Old Testament. Timothy was schooled in the Old Testament. Paul was schooled in the Old Testament. Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book of the Bible.
That's right.
Old Testament.
Yeah.
And the New Testament will never make quite the clarity that it ought without understanding and knowing the Old Testament.
Yeah, I think it's Edith Schaefer who authored the book Christianity is Jewish.
Yeah.
And we as the Goyim, as we're often called, we miss what atonement means, terms like Lamb of God and so on. Now, in his letters to Timothy, he mentions things like, can you please grab my coat? I left it at Troas. And why are those things included in Scripture? I mean, these are canonical letters.
Yeah, you know, that is a very touching scene there in 2 Timothy, because Paul, it's clear, has been given his orders from the Lord. He's going to die for the Lord Jesus Christ.
And at this point, he knows it.
He knows it. And what he asks for is not a reprieve from Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
He's not asking for a snack, you know, bring me my favorite falafel and hummus. He's asking for the parchments. He's asking for the Old Testament scriptures. He's asking for the commentaries. And he's asking, as you know, for a cloak, because then that horrible Mamertine prison there in Rome, it was dank and cold. And he's asking for the word of God, knowing that he's going to be going to his death.
Yeah.
And that tells me something, and that should tell all of us, about the magnitude of what we are sowing to right now.
Yeah.
My friends, the word of God, the Bible, apparently is so needed at all times, even to the point of death, right? Because we are sowing to eternity, and we will reap in eternity. The word of God, when we pick it up and when we study it carefully, we are sowing to forever. And Paul had an amazing understanding of that. Though he was approaching his death, he wanted to make sure that the inward man was being renewed day by day.
Okay, in just a moment, I'm going to be asking you about 2 Timothy, because we're going to be heading into that. But I understand 2 Timothy contains a hymn. Does not also 1 Timothy contain a hymn? Something that was and theologically deep at that.
Yeah, Mike, in 1 Timothy 3:16, there is a verse there that is not only a wonderful, incredible truth for all of us as believers, and I hope all of our listeners are aware of it, but it is extremely graphic in a glorious way concerning Jesus. That scripture says, and listen with Paul's heart of confidence on it, he says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, that God was manifested in the flesh. Number two, justified in the Spirit. And by the way, that's capital S on Spirit. Number three, seen by angels. And before we leave this, I want to come back to that one. Preached among the Gentiles. I'm grateful for that, Mike.
Yes.
Believed on in the world, and then received up into glory.
Into glory. Yeah.
The part that I love there is seen by angels. The word in the Greek is our English word to gawk. That angels had wide eyes, they gawked, they were staring, they were shocked at the...
In awe
of the fact that their creator, Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus was the creator of angels, that their creator was coming into the world, born of a woman, and when Mary was giving birth to baby Jesus, it appears that the angels gawked wide-eyed at that event because they were seeing for the first time their creator draped in human flesh. Some scholars have gone so far to say, and I have to tell you, I agree with them, that this speaks about angels seeing Christ for the first time like this, because in the presence of God up until this time, we hear about, for example, the seraphim, Isaiah chapter 6, in the presence of the Lord, singing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," right?
Mm-hmm.
It says that they have three sets of wings. With two wings, that is, with one set, two wings, they cover their face. With another set, they cover their body. And with the third set of wings, they do fly.
Okay.
What's interesting about that is some scholars believe that angels did not peer into the face of God until Jesus Christ was born. Right here, what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy 3:16. Angels gawked in awe at the physical birth of their creator.
Oh, my word.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Okay, well, now we're going to be heading into 2 Timothy, and I understand that there's either a song, an incantation, or some kind of a short creed there.
Paul says this, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless," listen to this, "he remains faithful, and he cannot deny himself."
Switches gears there on the last
Switches
one.
Gears.
Yeah.
I love the announcement that Paul gives. You know, you look through all of this wonderful teaching of his, and it is, of course, Mike, as you know, called the pastoral epistles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that we're sitting here talking right now about the day and age in which we live in. God has called his pastors to lead his people in the knowledge of God. And I just want to encourage all of you who head up small home fellowship groups. Maybe you're a pastor of a church. Maybe you host a Bible study at lunch break there at your company. It is an awesome thing to realize that what we're looking at in these days, in fact, here in Timothy, he warns us that perilous times are going to be coming, that there's going to be a time of false doctrine. There's going to be people sowing seeds of discourse and heresy. among God's people. We need this teaching by Paul more now than ever before, as we see, as Jesus himself warned, wolves would come in and be dressed up as sheep. You know, we don't want to think about that. We want to go to church, Mike, and have a great time on Sunday morning, and so we should.
Yeah.
But as a faithful pastor, he may have a smile on his face, and he may be pouring his heart out at the pulpit and being diligent to the Word of God, but he's got one eye open, scanning that flock, because these are the days and the age in which we live in. Dangerous times are upon us, and we need godly leaders like never before.
So Paul is really putting a heavy, or reminding, I guess was a better term, reminding Timothy of a great responsibility that he has as a shepherd, I suppose it is.
As a shepherd, and you looked at that word shepherd, one who tends, one who feeds, one who cares. As you consider that, the responsibility, you know, wherever you can find Jesus, who the scripture tells us he was the chief shepherd. Mike, I like to consider myself and all pastors as sheepdogs. Jesus is the chief shepherd.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm a sheepdog.
Better analogy.
Yeah, you know, and when you think about that, there's going to be a day when all of us who hold open the Word of God before his people, we're going to give an account for that. We're going to give an account for what we've taught them. Was it biblical? Was it chapter and verse? Was it book by book? Why? Because that is the only thing in this day and in this age that will keep people safe on the straight and narrow, Jesus put it in Luke 13, to see us all the way through to the end. It will be the Word of God as it has been for the millennia.
Okay, now I'm starting to detect a common thread here. It's the Word of God and its proper interpretation, which means doctrine.
Right.
Now, sometimes the word doctrine can be kind of a scary term to people, and they just think that, God is love, and they kind of have a hard time getting past that, and that we actually need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Is that what Paul is dealing with?
That's exactly it, because what we must not do is name the name of Christ, but not be able to explain or to address what is it that we believe about Christ. I mean, let's be honest. How can we say that we're Christians when we don't know what it means or what it takes to become a believer?
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm a believer. Well, the Bible warns us that Satan believes and trembles at the thought, but he's not saved.
No.
The truth of the matter is, as we come in our belief to Christ, we make that transition now from belief to faith. And faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17 says, hearing the Word of God. And so these epistles of Timothy build one step upon another the faith that you and I need for these last days and to survive these last days, because people are knocking on our doors. People are lying, truly lying about, well, you can't believe the Bible, there's errors in it. Or
we believe the Bible insofar as it is correctly translated.
Correct.
Or tradition is just as important as Scripture.
Many today that are speaking from the Islamic view, saying, well, you Christians and you Jews are nice people, but all of your scriptures are corrupt. And they make that statement, but if a believer is not firmly grounded in the Word of God, that's going to cast doubt into their mind. And they don't need to be doubtful, because the truth of the matter is we are living in days that dangerous, that volatile spiritually, and we need to be ready. No more having our head in the sand.
I'm reminded of Paul, same author, who wrote to Timothy. He said in 2 Corinthians 11:4 that if one comes and preaches a Jesus other than the one whom we have preached, another gospel, another spirit, etc., you just might fall for it.
And you know, in Galatia, Paul warned, and boy, listen to this, Mike. Paul warned, if something like an angel comes from heaven and declares a different or another gospel, let him be accursed.
Anathema
is the word. Maranatha, anathema. Let him be taken and cast out or down to the deepest or the darkest of hell. That is amazing. Paul even went so far to say, even if we preach a different gospel. Church, friends, listeners, that's dead serious. And yet, what do we have today? People knocking on our doors saying that the Bible is okay, but you need another gospel, another revelation.
Another Jesus.
And isn't it interesting that in these last days, we have people hearing and seeing, they claim, messages from angelic beings.
Oh, yeah.
We have the Mormon message about an angel, Moroni, coming down, giving another gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
Muhammad said that Gabriel came down from heaven to give another message.
That's right.
These are things that in the wisdom of our great and awesome God, gave us the Bible to be fully equipped. He has not left us without armament to be living in these last days.
Yeah. In other words, we can avoid all that if we simply, we won't avoid it if we're left to our own devices, but if we keep our nose in the Word, we'll see this stuff coming.
It's exactly true. Paul said it again, that it is the church that is to be the custodian of the truth, which makes the church a pillar of truth because it's bound and tied to the Word of God. And Mike, sad to say, that all is assumed upon the fact that that church, any church, my friends, your church that you might attend today, is it a church proclaiming and faithful to the Bible? The Bible cannot be substituted with other things.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap this up in just minutes. If you're just now tuning in, you are listening to Real Radio, but we've pulled Pastor Jack into the studio here to talk about, I guess we're calling this an Inner Timothy interview because we just wrapped up 1 Timothy and about to go into the second canonical letter from the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, as he's often referred to. Where was Timothy pastoring at the time?
Timothy had an amazing ministry opportunity. Ephesus, and Mike, I don't know if you've had a chance, or maybe some of our listeners have had a chance to be in Ephesus. Timothy pastored the church at Ephesus. That church had tremendous history. And so Paul's encouragement to him was to pastor that work. You know, the Apostle John was at Ephesus. Mm-hmm. According to church history, it was Mary, the mother of Jesus, who died, her last days lived out in Ephesus. And so here we have Timothy, the teacher, the pastor, the tender of the flock in Ephesus.
And what kinds of problems was Timothy dealing with? Because that seems to be a thread in what Paul wrote to him.
You know, it's amazing about that. Everything about our Bible is now. It is current. The problems that Timothy was going through is what each of us find today.
Same thing today.
Same thing today. The attacks on the Christian doctrine. Can you really be saved? How do you know? Can you lose your salvation? What's the story? What about this doctrine? What about that doctrine? What about the kingdom of Rome in which we're living in? How do we answer? Who is Lord anyway? How true are the scriptures? And all these things that Timothy had to pastor in and through, we're doing it today. You know, Solomon said it, and I think you know what I'm going to say.
Yes,
There's nothing new under the sun, but yet our God has prepared us for these days. So I hope our listeners are encouraged and strengthened. And maybe, you know, our attempt today, Mike, was to get all of us to dive into the Word of God more effectively and hold it with maybe today a deeper sense of reverence. It is the Word of God to us. The Bible doesn't contain the Word of God.
It is the Word of God.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It is the Word of
That's
God.
That's right. And 1 and 2 Timothy can quite probably, we can view them as instruction manuals as to the kind of view we are to have on Scripture.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, well, we look forward to going into 2 Timothy, and that begins tomorrow here on Real Radio. You've been listening to Real Radio, and we've had Pastor Jack Hibbs here in the studio talking about the two canonical letters written by Paul to young Timotheus, the letters often being referred to as 1 and 2 Timothy, two of three pastoral epistles of the New Testament. So join us again tomorrow as we begin 2 Timothy here on Real Radio. In the meantime, we do invite you to join us at realradioactive.org. Drop by and check out the different events that are going on. You can listen to today's broadcast. You can also listen to prior broadcasts and subscribe to our podcast of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs at absolutely no charge. That's realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send us a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of this information can be found at www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.